We're going to look this evening at that passage we read together from 1 Peter 1, especially verse 3 following. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith. Some years ago, I had a letter from a solicitor. It said, "Dear Mr. Howlett, we're writing to inform you that you've inherited an eighth share of your late aunt's estate." Aunt Ethel had been kind to her nephews and niece throughout her life, and now she had remembered us in her will and was leaving us each an eighth share. That was exciting. She lived in a very large house in a very posh district of the city of Norwich, and I had high hopes of the great windfall that was coming in my direction. 3 days later, a letter arrived from the solicitor. "Dear Mr. Howlett, re your aunt's estate, we are sorry to inform you that a complication has arisen." The complication was this: in making her will, my aunt had entirely overlooked the fact that she shared the house and shared some bank accounts with her bachelor brother. The two of them had shared the house all their lives. Now, we could have forced our uncle to sell the house so we could at least have an eighth share of half the value of the estate. But you can't treat an old uncle like that. So we signed the deed of waiver, giving up our inheritance, secretly hoping that when my uncle came to die, he'd remember us in his will. But he didn't. In his 80s, he met with a much younger woman. After being a lifelong bachelor, he met a younger woman and left her everything, even the family photographs. And that was the end of my inheritance. My hopes were dashed in a moment. And all the hopes of the world are like that. Is there any certain hope in the future? Is there anything definite and certain to which we can look forward? That's a question which must surely occupy the minds of every thinking person. The years are flying by. We see our children growing up, and we see our grandchildren coming along, even great-grandchildren. We notice our faces aging and our hair graying. We hear a friend suddenly dying, and we know we can't go on forever. We can't go on forever. If we're thinking people, we must surely ask, is there anything that we can really look forward to? Is there anything that we can have as a hope as we face death? Peter, one of the first church leaders, wrote a letter to some friends who were facing terrible persecution. During the reign of Nero, the Roman emperor, that paranoid tyrant, Nero the madman, these people were suffering greatly. And in this letter, Peter reminds these troubled friends that Christians have a living hope. Chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Christians have a wonderful hope. If you became a Christian this evening, you would immediately receive a wonderful hope. The first thing to notice is that Peter describes it as a living hope. He does that to contrast it with the dying hopes of the world around us. Let me think of some of the dying hopes of the world around us. A lot of people entertain the hope that one day they might get rich. One day their lottery number will come up. One day they hit the jackpot at the football pools. One day they'll pick all the winners at Ascot and make a fortune. One day the stock market will soar and they'll make a killing. One day great aunt will leave them a fortune. There's more chance of getting knocked down by a bus on the way to buy your lottery ticket than there is of winning the lottery. Did you realize that? Those are dying hopes of this world. There are others who cherish the hope that one day they'll be famous. One day they'll be a star footballer. Another day will be Beckham. One day they'll be a leader, a singer with a leading band, a leading group. One day they'll make it to the top and be the managing director of the company. It's a dying hope. Retirement gets nearer and nearer, and those hopes still haven't been realized. When I was a teenager, mad keen on motorbikes and motorbike racing, I dreamed that one day I would be the world speedway champion. That was my great hope. I sat through many a boring sermon, dreaming of the day when I would make it to the final and win the final, get the checkered flag, and be the world speedway champion. That's a dying hope. It hasn't happened yet. Not very likely to happen either. It's a dying hope. On a much higher level, many people have the hope that this world will get better and better, that as men and women become more educated and get better housing and a higher living standard, that lust and violence will cease and wars will come to an end and the world will be a far better place in which to live. That was certainly the hope of many people at the beginning of the 20th century. They dreamt of a wonderful golden age to come. They dreamt when Jerusalem would be built in England's green and pleasant land. Thought the 20th century was going to be a wonderful century. But it brought us Belsen and Auschwitz and Hiroshima and Nagasaki and Iraq and Afghanistan and the Korean War. So much bloodshed. Two world wars in one century. Dying hope, you see. The world will get better and better, but it doesn't. It gets worse and worse. But the Christian's hope, it's not a dying hope. It's a living hope. It will be as real when you're 90 as when you were 19. It'll be as real the day you die, if you're a Christian, as it was when you became a Christian, maybe as a teenager. It's a living hope. What is it? Well, the Bible tells us here in verse 4 that it is an inheritance in heaven. It's nothing to do with fame or fortune in this life, in this world. This life will end one day. The world will end one day. The world and all its hopes will come to an end one day. That hymn we sang just now puts it so clearly. There is an hour when I must part with all I hold most dear, and life with its best hopes will then as nothingness appear. Shakespeare put it like this in the tempest. The cloud-capped towers, the gorgeous palaces, the golden temples, the solemn temples, the great globe itself, yea, all which it inherit shall dissolve. And like this insubstantial pageant faded, leave not a rack behind. This world and all its so-called hopes and treasures will come to an end. Peter puts it far better than Shakespeare in his second letter. Peter says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. This world and everything in it will come to an end, finished, burned up. The Christian's hope is nothing to do with fame or fortune or a life in a better world, this world. Don't misunderstand me. We must do all we can to improve things in this world. Down through the years, Christian men and women like Lord Shaftesbury and William Wilberforce and Elizabeth Fry George Muller and Dr. Bernardo have done all they could to improve things in this world. But our hope is not in this world. What is our hope? What exactly is it? An earthly inheritance may consist of money, perhaps a house, or land, or jewelry, works of art, antiques. But this heavenly inheritance consists of eternal life in God's everlasting kingdom. One day God will step in and stop the clock and wind up history and end the world. And there will be a new realm. The Bible describes it as a new heavens and a new earth. There will be a new realm. And all Christians will live there forever and forever and forever. That is the Christian's hope and inheritance. A living hope, an eternal home in God's new realm. Let me spell it out a bit more. It'll be a proper life. We won't just be disembodied spirits floating around in a misty atmosphere. That's mythology. It won't be like that. We won't be just sitting on clouds playing harps. That's how sometimes the Christian's hope is ridiculed. It'll be a proper life, a real life, more real, more fulfilling than anything we've ever known in this world. It'll be a perfect life. There'll be no sin, no pride, no envy, no greed or selfishness, no violence or vice, or vandalism. It'll be a perfect world. No war, no wickedness, no want, no calamities, no earthquakes, no floods, no volcanoes erupting, no famines. It'll be a perfect realm, and all who live in it will be perfect too. There'll be a painless life. There'll be no disease or disability there. Eventually, our bodies will be as perfect as our souls. Peter says, nothing will spoil this inheritance. He says, it is an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Nothing will defile, nothing will spoil this wonderful inheritance in glory. It will last forever and forever and forever and forever. Many years ago, 1972, Margaret and I received a legacy of £100. That was a nice surprise and very, very useful. An old lady who'd become a Christian left us £100 when she died. We had a young family. Money was scarce. Life was a bit tough to feed and clothe the family. So £100 was wonderful, wonderful. But that's long since gone. Spent 100 times over, long since gone. But this inheritance that Peter is speaking about, this Christian's hope, will go on forever and forever and forever. Eternal life in God's eternal kingdom, in this new realm where everything is perfect. Even the animal kingdom will be perfect. The leopard and the lion and the lamb will all be there peaceably living together. And it will last forever and ever. Here's the important question. How can we have this hope? How can we have this hope? We've all got to die one day. You may accuse me of being pessimistic by saying that. We've all got to die one day. That's not being pessimistic. That's being realistic. The one great certainty is we've all got to die one day. And death is no respecter of age. Young people die. One of the things that first made me think about was I ready to die was a friend of mine was killed in a car crash. He racing his car one night on the roads, rolled it over, killed himself. First funeral I ever went to. And I thought to myself, it could have been me in that car. Was I ready to die? We've all got to die one day. How do we have this hope then? Well, first of all, we're not born with it. It doesn't come with our birth certificate. How can we have this hope? Peter tells us here, first we have this hope through the mercy of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. Great mercy. It is due entirely to the mercy of God that we can have this hope. That means we can never earn this hope. We can never deserve this hope. We can never win this hope. If you come and cut my grass and weed my garden every week for the next 10 years, I may leave you something in my will. You deserve it. Coming to my house every week for 10 years, cutting my grass, weeding my garden, cleaning my car as well, you deserve something. But nothing we ever do will deserve this wonderful hope of eternal life in heaven. As we are, we deserve eternal punishment in hell. The way we've treated God, the way we've ignored God, the way we've lived for ourselves, the way we've pushed God aside, we deserve to be abandoned by God forever in a terrible place called hell. How then can we have this hope? By the mercy of God. He's a God of great mercy. He gives us something we don't deserve in his great mercy. Secondly, we have this hope because of God's Son. Because he died and rose again. Peter says here, we have it through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, we've all done wrong. We've all sinned against God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our consciences tell us that. Is there anybody here who's never had a troubled conscience? If so, you're the only person in the world who's never had a troubled conscience. Our memories tell us that we've sinned. Isn't it strange how memories haunt us? That awful thing we did, that awful thing we said, we can't forget it. Things we would love to remember, we forget. Our friends are getting married. I hope he'll never forget the wedding anniversary. But sometimes things we love to remember, we forget. But things we would love to forget, we remember. That awful thing that we've done, we've all sinned. Our memories tell us that. And the Bible certainly tells us that. We've all sinned against God. So as we are, we have no hope of entering heaven. No hope of entering God's eternal realm. God is a God of purity. God is a God of holiness. We've read that in this passage. God hates sin. He cannot allow any sinner into his presence. Cannot. If God allowed sinners into his heavenly realm, they'd soon turn it into hell. So how can we get in? Through the mercy of God and through God's Son. God's Son died upon the cross. And when he died upon the cross, he bore the punishment due to sinners like us, so that we might go to heaven, so that we might be forgiven and go to heaven. My friend, you can only have this hope through the mercy of God. You don't deserve it. You can only have this hope of eternal life in God's realm through God's Son, his death and resurrection. And thirdly, we can only have this hope through a miracle of God, through the mercy of God, through the Son of God, through a miracle of God. Peter reminds us of that. He says in this passage, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he's caused us to be born again to a living hope." Caused us to be born. What does that mean, born again? When you were born the first time, when I was born the first time, when I was born of my mother, I had physical life. I could walk. After a while, I could talk. I could breathe. I could eat. I could sleep. I could do physical things. Eventually, I could run. Because of this first birth, I had physical life. But there was no spiritual life. I was spiritually dead. I had no love for God. I had no desire to please God. Had no desire to read God's word. Had no desire to walk in God's ways. I was spiritually dead. Physically alive, spiritually dead. But then, God did a miracle in my life. If you're a Christian, God has done a miracle in your life. He caused you to be born again. He breathed life into your soul. So you began to live spiritually. And you were born again to a living hope. So that's how we can have this hope. Let me emphasize, my friend, you can't earn it. You can come to church every Sunday of your life, morning and evening, sing all the hymns. Very good. But that won't earn you a place in heaven. You can do your good deeds, give to charity. Very good. But that won't earn you a place in heaven. You can only have a place in heaven through God's mercy, through God's Son and His death and resurrection, and through a miracle of God being done in your life. But, says someone, how can you be certain about this hope? You're telling me that if I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll have this wonderful hope. But how can you be so certain about this hope? That dear old aunt of yours, in her will, she said that you could have an eighth share of her house and her money. And she made that with every good intention. She wasn't a liar. She really wanted that to happen. But it all turned pear-shaped. How can you be sure that this Christian hope you're talking about will really work out? How can you be sure if I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, I can have this wonderful hope of eternal life? And how can you be sure? Well, let me tell you. My dear old aunt, kind soul that she was just a poor, weak human being. She made mistakes. She got it wrong. Made a blunder when she made a will. But God never makes mistakes. God never says anything that is wrong. God never does or says anything untrustworthy. God can be trusted in everything that he says. And Peter says here that this inheritance is guaranteed for those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says this: blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept, reserved in heaven for you. I once went to take a Bible conference in Northern Ireland. It was held in a very posh hotel. My wife and I went to the dining room during the break for a meal. And there on the table, there was a big notice. It said, reserved for Mr. and Mrs. Howlett. I felt good about that, you know. Table reserved for me. Then when we went to bed at night, got to a room, and on the notice on the door of the room, reserved for Mr. and Mrs. Howlett. Wonderful to have a table reserved and a room reserved. Peter says, if you become a Christian and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a place reserved for you in that eternal kingdom. It's got your name on it. Got your name on it. It's reserved for you. You can be sure of it if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions, there are many apartments, luxury apartments. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and take it to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Philip said, Lord, how can we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is saying there that if you trust in him and his death upon the cross, he is the way to heaven, and he's got a place reserved for you there in that eternal, wonderful realm. But you say, well, suppose I become a Christian. I'm such a weak person. I'm such a frail person. I'm afraid I won't stay the course. I'm afraid that my faith will give way. Suppose they begin to persecute me like they're persecuting people in Syria or Iran or North Korea. Suppose terrible things should happen. Suppose a dictator should come and make it so hard for Christians. I'm afraid that my faith will fail. Listen to what Peter says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he's caused us to be born again to a living hope, to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, reserved in heaven for you. Listen. Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation. If you become a Christian, if you are a Christian, this place in heaven is reserved for you. But God will make sure that you are preserved for it. It's reserved for you. You will be preserved for it. You'll be guarded. You'll be kept day by day. You say, well, suppose I get old and frail, start suffering from dementia, lose my marbles. I'm afraid that in that terrible time when I'm weak and frail and not knowing what's happening, that the devil will get hold of me and snatch me away. And I'll lose my place in God's kingdom. Peter says, you're being kept. You're being preserved by God's power. If you become a Christian, he'll watch over you. He'll guard you. Oh yeah, temptations will come. Trials will come. Persecution may come. You may get dementia. But God will preserve you and take you safely home to his eternal kingdom. Can I ask you as I close? What's your hope, my friend? As you look into the future, what are you hoping for? Going to make money, maybe? You may make money, you may not. But if you make money, it won't last. It'll all perish one day. Bank of England will collapse. Get a nice house? Well, hope you do. But it won't last forever. One day, you'll have to leave that house behind. Someone else will buy it, change all your nice decorations, dig up your beautiful garden. These earthly hopes don't last. Get a good career? Yeah. But that won't last forever. Your company will be taken over, and you'll lose your job. Get a pension, the good pension? Yeah. But that won't last forever. The day you die, your pension will stop. All those worldly hopes are fading hopes. Have you got a lasting hope? When you come to that last day on earth, when the doctor says to you, I'm afraid, Mr. So-and-so, there's nothing more we can do for you. Nothing more we can do for you. We just recommend palliative care now. We'll arrange for you to go to hospice. And you know the end is coming. What's your hope then? What's your hope then? As Christians, we can say, even as we stare death in the face, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And I know that when I die, the moment I die, he'll take me to be with him in his eternal realm. And I'll live there forever and forever and forever in that perfect wonderful realm. Have you got that hope? Suppose tonight were your last night on the earth. How morbid, you say. Yeah, but I've been a pastor long enough to have said farewell to people at the church door as they've gone out on a Sunday evening. Never seen them again. I said one night to a young boy of 13, good night, Johnny, good night. Do well at school this week. He didn't last a week. Bright young footballer, didn't last a week. You've got to hope, my friend. Suppose the end should come.